We have Elder Don Curtis here tonight, be our first teacher, and we're thankful to have him here again this year in our winter Bible study. I know, I believe I can speak on behalf of Fairview Memorial. We're thankful for his willingness to serve as a teacher, and I have enjoyed his and appreciated his teaching through the years here and out at the Old Union Minister School, and thankful for his ministry. And want to ask you to remember him tonight, continue to pray for him as he stands before us, and let's turn our attention now for a while to the Word of God, Brother Curtis.
Appreciate the presence of everybody tonight. Appreciate you coming out this cold night, snowy night. But it's warm in the house of God, and it's good to be together. I do appreciate your presence. I appreciate your interest. I want you to pray for me tonight. Pray that I can deliver the subject. I've enjoyed studying the subject, but delivering it's a different thing. Study is private, and delivery is a little bit different ball game, as I say. But I'd like for you to pray for me, and I appreciate your presence. I appreciate the church, the committee asking me to do this. So at this time, I'll begin my subject. My subject is Christ, the Redeemer. As I said, I've got a great deal out of the subject myself. I got a lot of blessings along. I'd get up and early in the morning hour sometime and meditate. And the Lord would bless me with a thought here and there. I hope tonight that I can deliver the message where that you can be blessed too. I want to begin with an introduction. In my introduction in the outline, I say that Redeemer, the word Redeemer is not in the New Testament. But I can tell you, the Redeemer himself is in the New Testament. The New Testament is about Jesus. People say that John 3:16 is the center of the Bible, and I believe that. I believe the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation is centered around him in some way. All of it has something to do with Jesus. In the Old Testament, the word Redeemer is used several times. I'd like to mention the story of Ruth and Boaz to set up my subject as an introduction. In the book of Ruth, Boaz is not called the Redeemer, but he is. He is under, under law, he's a Redeemer. In the book of Ruth, Naomi had lost her husband, and she lost her sons, and only one daughter, Ruth, a daughter-in-law, Ruth, remained with her. And they traveled back to Bethlehem, where they had been and where they had owned property. Naomi, under the law, had the right to sell that property. And she was going to do that. Under law, the nearest kin had a right to purchase that property. They could start at the top and go through the kin, and it might go to somebody else if the kinry didn't want it and wouldn't take the property. But not only that, they had a right to marry Ruth, who was a widow and a daughter-in-law of Naomi. Boaz took that upon himself as the nearest kin, and he bought that property. And he married Ruth. Now he didn't really buy it back except in one sense. In one sense, he bought it back that it might remain in the family. Otherwise, if the nearest kin or the kin hadn't bought it, it would be gone. So in this story, the Redeemer is the one that bought it back. And that's really what a Redeemer is, the one that buys back. And the Lord bought us back. Amen. He bought us back. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 7:14, he said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Now what he is doing, he is referring to the fall of man. He is referring to transgression in the garden. Man fell from the holy state, and we become very carnal, wicked by nature. Adam come wicked by nature. That nature was passed on to us. And so Paul is admitting that he's carnal, and all of us are. We're carnal. We're born into the world sinners, and we sin because we're sinners. It's not the other way around. But Jesus become our Redeemer, buying us back from that fallen state. I love the words of Job in the Old Testament. And Job uses the word Redeemer. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon this earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now I want to tell you that Job had been redeemed within. He had been set free, not just bought at Calvary, but he'd been set free, and it's obvious. And he is looking to the day when he'd be set free in the body. Setting free is what redemption is. I'd like to make it clear tonight that Jesus bought us at Calvary. He paid the sin debt. He paid the ransom price. That's what he did at Calvary. But we were set free when you were spiritually born again. Set free inwardly. And redemption of the body is yet to come. But it's going to be set free. Tonight I'm using outline a little bit different from what I usually do. But I felt like using the words in the New Testament related to our subject, Christ the Redeemer. There's a number of them, and I want to use them. But first thing I want to do is to read some scripture from John, the 8th chapter, verse 31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When you get an outline, you will notice that I didn't put the heading to the first point that I want to make. And I wanted to talk about the Redeemer. And so that would have been my first point, but I didn't put it on the outline. But I've got the scriptures and things that I want to use tonight. In this scripture, Jesus has given us a story that relates to us who the Redeemer is and what redemption is. I think if you get the message in the scripture that I read in your hearing, you can get that story. Jesus, in the earlier verses before the verse 31, he is preaching to some Jews. And he's preaching to them about believing upon him. Then in the, I believe about the 30th verse, somewhere along there, John said these Jews believed on him. But I'm here to tell you tonight, they hadn't believed unto salvation. Did you know you can have believers without them being saved? There are people that believe the gospel to agree, but never ever trust the Lord Jesus. And you're not a real believer until you've trusted the Lord Jesus. It involves more than just believing the Word. The Word is about the Lord Jesus. And it points us to the Savior. He's alive and well. You've got to call on His name and trust Him to be delivered. Now, I know that these people weren't saved because Jesus said these words. You know, he said, if you continue in my word, you'll be disciples indeed. They'll be disciples indeed because they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Because it points them to the Lord Jesus. And he goes on and he said, if the Son sets you free, you should be free indeed. So look, he's talking to these believers about being set free. They're not set free. They're not saved then. They've been bought with a price, but they're not saved. They're not saved. They're unsaved. But Jesus is talking to them and he said, if you continue in my word, you'll be disciples indeed. And that means learners indeed. Really disciples. And you'll know the truth. Disciples indeed, because the truth would set them free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Well, we've never been in bondage. We've never been slaves to anybody. And by the way, that word servant is slave. It's that kind of a servant. We've never been bondage to anybody. No man. Why, the whole nation is in bondage in Egypt. Amen. They said, we've never been in bondage to any man. Why are you talking about us being set free? Jesus then goes on and he says, whosoever sinneth is in bondage to sin. And he is the servant of sin, slave to sin. And so we all have sinned and we're slaves to sin. And what Jesus is about as the Redeemer, he is about setting us free from the bondage of sin. Buying us back from that fallen state. Now, in 35 and 36, it says, and the servant abideth in the house forever, but the son abideth not. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. A slave could live in the landowner's house all of his life, and die, or he could get old and be sold down to the market when he wasn't able to do anything. You know, there's just a world of people today that think they're Christians or trying to work their way into heaven. They're in bondage to sin, and they're going to be slaves to it all of their life, working all their life to become saved on the other side and hope they will be just right when they get it to judgment, but they're in bondage to sin, and they're going to die that way unless the Son sets them free. A slave, he didn't buy it forever. He's sold sometimes at the market. But the son of the landowner is a free man. He just stayed on. He lived there, stayed on. He's never sold because he's a free man. He's a free man. And he's not in bondage. He's not in bondage at all. So what Jesus is talking about is talking about himself. He is the free man. He is without sin. He didn't have any sin. And because he was the free man without sin, and for that reason, he was able to buy us, to purchase us, we slaves, and set us free. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad that I know what it is to be set free. I'm glad I know Jesus, and I'm glad I know something about what he suffered at Calvary. I've read about that and know about it, and I know that it's the truth because the Spirit makes you know. He makes you know. And that is the truth. But I know that it is. But Jesus was the free. He's the son that's free. Free from sin, not in bondage to it. So he came down here and he went to Calvary. He bought us. But I want to remind you again, he bought us at Calvary. But being purchased is not being set free. See, God gave his son for the entire world. But they're not all free, brethren. They're not all free. You got to be set free. Not just a ransom paid for you, but you got to be set free. I want to try to give you the Greek as I go along. Galatians 4:4-5. Well, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, I told you before that I'm approaching a little different from what I usually do, but I wanted to bring these words to you tonight, all of them, and let's get a little bit of understanding of what they're about. The word in this redeem, in this scripture, the Greek is just to buy up. That's a root. Now, when I say the root, you start out with a root word or phrase. In other languages, some words are an entire phrase. It's not just one word. Our people think that you translate, you go one word for word for word for word, and you can't do it that way, brethren. There's no way to translate Scripture without paraphrasing. Some words you go direct, but some words are entire phrase. But to buy up is what it meant. That's the root word. That's where you start, and it branches out and depending on circumstances and tense and whatever. So redeemed is past tense. So it means to buy up, ransom, or bought back. We're bought out of that condition. Fullness of time, he mentions that in that scripture. And I think it's important to mention what he says in relation to the word. And my outline will be a brief commentary on these verses, more or less. That's what it is. And that's what I'm doing tonight as I try to teach. Fullness of time. It's God's own time when He's ready. I've often wondered, a lot of times I've wondered why God waited, 4,000 years before Jesus came into the world? He made the plan for the foundation of the world, and why He waited till 4,000 years. But that's when the fullness of time was for Him. That's the way He planned it, and I don't know the circumstances around that, but it's God's time. That's when He wanted it to happen. That's when He wanted Jesus to come into the world, and so that's when He came. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. That is, He is born of the Virgin Mary. Born of a virgin that He wouldn't have Adam's depraved, wicked nature. That's what that's about. Because He was going to die for us, and friends, He couldn't if He transgressed or if He had the sinful nature. He would have to die for Himself. But He didn't have Adam's depraved, wicked nature. He's God's Son. He was without that, and He lived above sin. But He is made of a woman, made under the law. Christ Jesus was under the law. He had to be under the law. And more than that, He had to keep the law. If He didn't keep it, if He didn't live above it, if He had broke the law, He would have been a transgressor. So He had to be under the law, but keep it perfectly, and that He did. And He did that, Paul is saying here, to redeem them that were under the law, to buy us back. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption is a legal term. God just makes us His. But He couldn't have done that if Jesus hadn't been under the law and kept it. He had to. Titus 2 and 14 is another scripture. Speaking of Jesus, it said, who gave Himself for us, freely gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This time the Greek is loose by price. The price was Himself, and He gave Himself for us. It's all about God giving, isn't it? It's all about grace. Just grace. Grace and God's mercy. The purpose in this verse of Scripture was to loose us. That's why He went to Calvary, to loose us. Remember, Calvary don't loose us until we trust the Lord. Then we're born again. Purpose is to loose us, to set us free from iniquity, from sin, from transgression, to purify. Boy, that's a big job for God to do, is to purify this wicked world, but it could purify every one of them if they could humbly repent, believe the gospel, and trust the Lord Jesus. Yeah, He could regenerate all of them because Jesus paid the price for everybody. Tasted death for every man. He gave Himself for us. The purpose is to loose us, set us free from iniquity, and purify a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The word redeemed I want to read Galatians 3:13-14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Greek word is to buy up. And I said, who in this case, to buy out of the curse of the law, or out from under it. That's what it's about. To buy us out from under the curse of the law. Christ bought us out of the curse by becoming a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's the apostle's words. The purpose is that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. You know what? When you go through the Bible, it's not just these words relative to our subject tonight, but if you go through the Bible, you'll find lots of things that was God's purpose. That would be a big subject. Lots of things. God had lots of detailed things that he purposed by sending Jesus to Calvary to pay our sin debt. First Peter 1:18-19. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember, the word is redeem. In this particular case, the scholars say it's to ransom or to buy back. In that case, bought back. It's past tense. The price wasn't silver and gold. You know, there's a world of people that believe they can just attend some church on Sunday morning and endure the service and pay the tithe, and that'll get them to heaven. It can't be bought. It couldn't be bought with gold and silver. Couldn't be bought by keeping some kind of law. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that if there could have been a law made whereby we could obtain righteousness, then he says, verily, Christ wouldn't have died. Christ died because we can't buy our way into heaven. And we can't work our way into heaven. Simply by grace and mercy, it took the Redeemer, and his name is Jesus the Christ. He did that and could do that because he's God's Lamb without spot and without blemish. Didn't have any sin. That's why he could do that. There's a word, another word that I want to look at, purchased. Yeah, that's what he did, isn't it? But there's something a little bit different about this word to me. Something a little bit different about it. In the scripture that I'm going to give you, the word purchase is in Acts 20:28. Paul is talking to the elders, the Ephesian elders, and he says, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. To purchase or pay the ransom is the same thing. But this word says a little bit more to me. And the Greek means to buy. In this case, it's past tense purchased. The Holy Spirit had made these elders overseers. They had a responsibility. Brethren, you that are like me tonight, or that are pastoring the church, or if you're preaching the Word of God, you have a great responsibility. And he said, take heed. We need to take heed. Take heed that we're able to feed the flock. Boy, it takes a lot of doing to do it right. It takes a lot of study. A lot of reading. A lot of searching. Lots and lots of meditating. Thinking about what you have read. He said, take heed. For the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has made you overseers. Now, I believe the Spirit of God makes us overseers of the church if it's right. I believe the Holy Spirit leads the preacher and he leads the church. And if everybody follows, the Holy Spirit has made that pastor the overseer of the body. But we ought to know. Now I'm going to get to why I think this word's a little different. We ought to know that it don't belong to us. It don't belong to us at all. You say, he bought it. He purchased it. And what I like about that word, it's about ownership, isn't it? Yeah, that one's a little bit different. But it's about ownership. He bought us. He paid the sin debt. He paid the ransom. He bought us. He said, take heed that you feed the church of God. And then he says, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. And I want to make this point. Church of God is not a name. It's not a name. When the scriptures say Church of Christ, it's not a name. But the words are indicating, and the scripture are indicating, that it belongs to Him. He bought it. He bought it. He paid for it with His own blood. And that's what He said. Which He hath purchased with His own blood. It belongs to Christ because He's bought it and He's paid for it. It's His. It's why He's the King, the kingdom. It's why He's head of the body. It's His. The church belongs to Jesus just as much as your head belongs to your body or your body to your head. Just as much. Well, 2 Peter 2 and 1, he uses a bought. Same thing, that's what he did, isn't it? He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bought them and bring upon them swift destruction. Before he said this, he was talking about the prophets of old. But even with the prophets of old that declared the word of God, he said among them were false teachers that the Lord had bought. Today we have them all about us. In all ages of time, there have been false teachers bringing, as Peter said, damnable heresies. But all the while, they're denying the Lord that bought them. See, that word bought is important. It's important. Every word in the Bible is important in some way, isn't it? But it's important. He bought them. He paid the sin debt for them, even though they're what they are. Isn't that amazing? If somebody's treating us that bad, we wouldn't do much for them, would we? But Jesus died, gave them himself for them, just as much as he did for you and me. Sure did. By the way, that Greek word is just buy it. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glory God, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bought with a price. And the price is the Lord Jesus. Cost him his life. His life blood, his life-giving flow, as it's sometimes called. The word here is buy. I said in this case, bought or purchased, because it's past tense. He bought us. But with it comes a command for us to glorify God in body and in spirit. We can do that a little bit sometime, but we can't do it in the body very often, can we? Boy, my time's about to run out and I haven't got anywhere. I would like to go on to further down and deal with redemption. Romans 3:24, been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's an important time. We're justified by faith. We're justified when we believe. Romans 5:1 is proof of that. But we're justified then, and that's when we're redeemed. That's when he sets us free. And he sets us free because that power is in Christ. The Greek word for redemption is to loosen, to set in free. You know, the Lord bought me over 1,900 years ago. That's right. Long time before I've existed, he bought me. Yeah. Paid the purchase price. July 1952, about midnight on a Thursday night, he set me free. Set me free. Set me free from law. Set me free from sin. Set me free from the curse of law. Set me free from hell itself. I want you to know, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I had a lot to say about this, but in Ephesians 1:7, to whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Well, we have that. The very moment we've prayed through, we've got it, because he paid for that. Wasn't by the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9:12, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He just entered once because it was eternal. He'd bought us, and that purchase was eternal. I want to go on just a little further. I've got a lot, but it's in the outlines. I think redemption of the body is very important, and I would have loved to spend about a half hour on that. But the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." He's talking about the redemption of the purchased possession in this body. My time has run out, but I want to tell you this. I like a song. Brother Reynolds wouldn't approve of the grammar, but I like a song. A line in it says, "Ain't no grave can hold this body down." There no grave can hold this body down because on the resurrection morning, he's going to set us free. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, "We're planted in corruption, but raised in incorruption. We'll be free from corruption, never be dust again." Isn't that wonderful? Body be free. Sown in dishonor. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Free from dishonor, and a glorified body, free from the dishonor that we brought upon ourselves and the Lord Himself. Free from that dishonor. The apostle said, "We're sown in weakness, but we'll be free from sickness, we'll be free from death." And he said, "Raised in power." That means power to live forever. Boy, when he sets you free, he sets you free. And when he sets the body free, it's going to be free. He said, "We're sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body." He said, "We're carnal." Like Paul says, "I'm carnal, soul, and sin." We're carnal. Because of that, these old bodies are going to the dust. But you know, we're going to be raised in a, he calls a spiritual body. Now, the body itself is not spirit. But I think what he is talking about is lost its carnality and now it's subject to the law of God. Oh, we're free from carnality. Free from all of that that brought trouble to our way to start with. I'm thankful for a Redeemer who is the Christ, the anointed one, the anointed Redeemer of the Almighty, the Father. And He is the Savior. The word Jesus means Savior. And He is the anointed Savior of the Father. And tonight, I'm glad to stand before you and say, He is my Savior and my Redeemer. And I've been redeemed and I've experienced redemption. And I'm looking forward when I can experience the redemption of this old body. Take on perfection. That's what we're going to do. Well, that just about, if I can use the expression, blows my mind. But that's what He's going to do for us. Now, that's what Jesus was talking about when the Son sets you free. He sets you free indeed. Just old slaves in bondage to sin, but He sets us free. May God bless you.